Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate Easter, the Paschal Feast, the Christian Passover. Not as a day on the calendar, but as an event in history. An event that has shaped the last 2,000 years of world history. An event with eternal consequences for all people. An event that God has not only informed us about, but an event that God is using even now to call you to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, who was crucified, but who is no longer dead. And to preserve you in fellowship with Him. And to assure you that in the end, after you've suffered here for a while, you who believe in the risen Lord Jesus will most certainly be given eternal life with Him. He's told you about it ahead of time, and God cannot lie. You want proof? Well, He told you that Easter was coming, didn't He? First, He told you the cross was coming, the suffering of the Lamb of God. Jesus told it. He told His disciples many times that He would suffer and die. In the Old Testament, God prophesied it many times that the Christ, the Messiah, would come and that He would suffer and die for the sins of all sinners. But He didn't only tell us about His suffering. He told the world about the resurrection of the Christ from the dead from the beginning too. He told us that Easter was coming. Consider with me some of the scriptures that spoke of Christ's resurrection before it happened, so that our hearts may burn within us as did the hearts of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus on Easter afternoon as Jesus walked with them and opened the scriptures to them. In the very beginning, you know that in the Garden of Eden, God promised that the Christ, the seed of the woman, would come and crush or bruise the serpent's head, while the serpent would bruise his heel. But how is only his heel bruised if he remains dead? God promised Abraham that all the families of the earth would be blessed in his seed. But how could his seed, the Christ, be a blessing to all nations, all families of the earth, if he's dead? God promised David that his son, his descendant, the Christ, would reign over an eternal kingdom on David's throne. But how does he reign forever if he's dead? The prophet Daniel, too, foresaw the eternal kingdom of the Son of Man. Daniel wrote, "Behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." But how is his dominion everlasting if he's dead? Then we have the Psalms, where the Christ speaks so often ahead of time through the prophets, through David and through others, about his final victory over his enemies, or where he prays confidently to his Father for deliverance from his enemies. Psalm 27. "When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." Psalm 43. "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength." Or Psalm 86, "Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. But how was Christ victorious over his enemies if they were able to destroy him for good? How did God preserve his life if his life ended in the grave? Or there are the Psalms where the Father promises to exalt the Son. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. But they didn't plot in vain if Christ remained dead. Or Psalm 110, where David speaks of his son, the Christ. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. But the Lord didn't make the enemies of Christ his footstool if his enemies were still triumphant on the third day. Or there are the Psalms that specifically refer to Christ's resurrection from the dead. Psalm 22, that great Psalm of David that details Christ's crucifixion, goes on to proclaim his resurrection. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver my precious life. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. Or Psalm 16, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And who can forget Isaiah chapter 53, where the suffering of Christ is foretold in such graphic detail, but also his resurrection. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And if all that weren't enough, Jesus himself foretold his resurrection on many occasions. Destroy this temple, he said, and in 3 days I will raise it again, referring to his body. When the Jews asked for a sign, he gave them the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And he said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep, and I take it up again. And in the months before Holy Week, Jesus told his disciples that he would die and rise again on the third day. And that was part of the angel's message, too, on Easter Sunday morning when the angel spoke to the women. Mary Magdalene and the other faithful women got up early on that Sunday morning and hurried to the tomb, wanting to honor their Lord with a better burial, but not knowing how they would roll that big stone out of the way that blocked the entrance to the grave. But they got there and found it already moved. An angel had done it. Jesus was already gone. And the angel preached the good news. He is risen as he said. You will see him in Galilee as he said to you. Or in another gospel, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He told you Easter was coming. What else has he told you is coming? A day of judgment, a day of reckoning for all men. Difficult days on earth, even for his beloved Christian church. But remember what else he told you is coming. Because I live, you also shall live. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Or if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And St. Paul also wrote and told you what is coming. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All this is coming because Christ rose from the dead. See, he has told you about it ahead of time. And if he kept his promises to die and to raise himself up again from the dead, then trust in him to keep these promises too. For God cannot lie. In the name of the risen Christ, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.